So I'm going to talk about MeanTime, which is a system to meet hard real-time performance constraints while saving energy by using approximate computing. And this is joint work with my advisor, Hank Hoffman. Okay, so the problem we're trying to solve here is the trade-off between timeliness and energy efficiency. So in this talk, when we talk about timeliness, we're going to be talking about getting hard latency guarantees. So this means that for every job, we want to complete all the work before the deadline, and we don't want to miss deadlines ever. If we only want soft guarantees, then it's okay to miss deadlines sometimes, as long as you meet the average performance goal. But we don't want to miss deadlines ever. So we can achieve timeliness by allocating enough resources to meet all the deadlines in the worst case. But in most cases, we're allocating more resources than we need. So this results in low energy efficiency. If we want energy efficiency, we can just allocate enough resources for the predicted amount of work. But of course, since jobs can vary in difficulty, this can miss deadlines occasionally. So the question here is, can we somehow get timeliness and energy efficiency at the same time? And if those are the only things we're trading off, probably not. But we can add this other dimension of accuracy. And doing that allows us to guarantee timeliness and energy efficiency at some small accuracy cost. Okay, so now that we've talked about the problem we're trying to solve, let's look at some techniques for trying to solve it. So here we have a graph of performance on the y-axis and time on the x-axis, and we've got some deadline that we want to complete all of the work for. So the most straightforward way to achieve hard latency guarantees is to just allocate resources for worst case execution time. Allocating for the worst case means that we allocate lots of resources at the beginning, and then if we finish early before the deadline, then we can just sleep or idle. So this isn't very energy efficient. If we want energy efficiency, we can use an energy aware approach where we estimate the resource needs, and then we only allocate enough resources to achieve the predicted amount of work before the deadline. Sometimes this can miss the deadline, though. So with our mean time system, we start by allocating the same amount of resources, system resources, as the energy aware approach in this efficiency region. And then we compute this safety region where we switch to using approximate computing for a speed up to guarantee that we always complete all the work for the deadline. One important thing to note here is that in both the efficiency and safety regions, mean time is allocating the same system resources as the energy aware approach. So this is like DVFS and core allocation. So it is saving energy that way. The thing that changes in the safety region is that we start using approximation to go faster. Okay, so now let's look at an example of how these techniques work on a real application. So this is a radar processing application for an unmanned autonomous vehicle. We've got three graphs here. They all have time measured in like jobs on the x-axis. And on the y-axis, we've got latency, we've got the energy per job, and we've got accuracy, which we measure as signal-to-noise ratio. So this radar processing application does require that we meet hard latency guarantees, because if we don't, then the vehicle can't respond to external events, and that would be very bad. But we're also constrained in the amount of energy we have. Luckily, this radar processing application does allow us to trade off accuracy in the form of signal-to-noise ratio for increased performance. So in this graph, we just show allocating for worst-case execution time. You can see in the top graph that the latency is constant. The latency goal here is about 0.38. it's always meeting the target, and then it just sleeps if it finishes early, so we've got constant latency. You can see, if you look at the energy graph, though, that the energy varies a little bit over time, because some jobs are a little bit easier than others, so allocating for worst case means that we sometimes finish early and then like idle in a low power state, which saves a little bit of energy, but it's not very good energy savings. And we're not doing anything with approximation yet, so accuracy is still one. We can compare this to an energy-aware approach. And you can see in the latency graph that we're not always meeting the latency target anymore. We only have soft guarantees for that. In the energy graph, though, we are getting significant energy savings. So that's good. And we're still not using approximation, so we've still got an accuracy of one. Comparing these to mean time. Mean time is achieving hard latency guarantees, as you can see in the top graph. It's pretty much the same latency as allocating for worst case execution time. However, unlike allocating for worst case, mean time does save lots of energy, similar to the energy aware approach. The total energy used by mean time here is only approximately like 20 joules compared to about 46 joules for allocating for worst case. So this is a big energy savings. This does come at the cost of some accuracy, though, so it's not appropriate for all applications. But here we've only got, the signal-to-noise ratio goes down to about, like, above 99%. So in many applications, we believe this is a reasonable trade-off to make. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more now about how mean time actually works. So mean time starts with an energy-aware controller. This is not a new contribution of mean time. We use an existing controller. And the controller by itself only gives you soft latency guarantees. But it's a good starting point for saving energy. So the controller works by getting latency feedback information from the application. It uses this to compute the error between the target latency and the observed latency. And then it assigns system resource configurations to minimize the energy while trying to get the error to be zero. So since this alone will only give us soft guarantees, we add this governor. The governor takes some timing information as an input, and we'll talk more about that later. And it uses that to compute how long it can spend in the safety and efficiency configurations to guarantee that we always meet the deadlines. One weird thing here is that since we're always meeting the deadlines, the energy-aware controller relies on the latency error to compute which configurations to use. So we need to modify the latency information that's going to the controller. So the governor just estimates what the latency would have been had we not used approximation, and sends that to the controller, so now the controller can still function as normal and save energy, and the governor guarantees that we meet hard guarantees. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about how the governor actually decides how much time it can spend in the efficiency region before it has to switch to approximation in the safety region to guarantee that we meet the deadlines. Okay, so this figure is pretty much the same figure as before, but I've labeled some variables so you can see what they are. I don't have enough time to go too much into the math, so I recommend that you look at the paper if you want to see how we derive this, but it's fairly simple. We start with the constraints on the right side. The first constraint just says that the time we spend in the safety region times the rate of computation in the safety region, plus the time we spend in the efficiency region times the rate of computation there, has to add up to all the work that we want to do in the worst case. Second equation says that the time spent in the safety and efficiency regions plus the time it takes to switch configurations should add up to the deadline. And then finally, we have a constraint that says the time we spend in each configuration should be non-negative. And then with these constraints, we can do a few like simple substitutions, and we can solve for the time we can safely spend in the efficiency region before we need to use approximation in order to guarantee meeting the deadlines. And we end up getting this equation. The important thing to see here is that this only requires information about the worst case latency, the speed up that we get from approximation, the deadline, and the time it takes to switch configurations. And these are all worst case values, so they don't vary from job to job. So we only have to do this computation once when we launch the application, and then we can keep spending the same amount of time in the efficiency region for every job, so we don't incur a huge overhead cost for computing this. If you want to see how we compute this, again, look at the paper. So now we're going to talk about how we evaluated this. So we ran this on an Odroid XUE. It's a little embedded processor that can be found in some Samsung phones. It uses an ARM big.little architecture, where there are four big cores that give high performance but at a high power cost. And there are four little cores, which offer low power consumption but also lower performance. So we've got some interesting trade-offs that we can deal with there. And we have a total of 128 different configurations to choose from. We ran several different benchmarks. Five of these are just from Parsec. And then we've also got the radar application that we mentioned earlier. We compared to several different approaches. So we already talked about allocating for worst case execution time and about the energy aware technique. But we also compared to PowerDial, which is a system for trying to maximize the accuracy while meeting a given performance goal. This only gives soft guarantees. And since it doesn't alter any system level configurations, like DVFS or core allocation, it's not really designed for saving energy. We're just comparing to this to see like what happens if we only adjust accuracy. We also compare to cross. This is based on existing cross-layer techniques, which combine application accuracy and system resource management in an attempt to save energy. Normally, these only give us soft guarantees, but we extend these in a simple way to achieve hard latency guarantees. This is still simpler than mean time, so we'll see how that works. And finally, we compare to an optimal approach that we find by running each benchmark in every possible configuration and then determining afterwards which configuration would have had the lowest energy cost that would have still met the deadlines. So obviously, we can't do this like while we're running an actual system. That's not practical. But this shows us like the possible energy we could save if we had a perfect approach. Okay, so now we have some results. We've got all the benchmarks on the x-axis, as well as the geometric mean of them. On the y-axis, we've got latency and energy. And this is normalized to allocating for worst-case execution time. So we start with a graph of worst-case execution time, which is kind of boring because it's normalized. But now we can compare that to PowerDial. PowerDial only gives us soft guarantees, as you can see in the latency graph above. And it only saves a small amount of energy because it's not really designed to save energy. But this is what happens when you only deal with accuracy and not with system configurations. Compare that to cross-layer techniques, which combine application and system configuration changes. So these are achieving hard latency guarantees. And in the bottom graph, you can see they save a moderate amount of energy. But not as much energy as when we compare to this energy-aware approach. This is only giving us soft guarantees in the latency graph. But if you look at the energy graph, there are pretty significant energy savings there. The average is about only 52% of the energy of running with like allocating for worst case execution time. So it's a significant energy savings. Now we have mean time. You can see in the latency graph that we're always meeting the deadlines. And in the energy graph, we get results comparable to the energy aware approach. It uses about 54% of the energy of allocating for worst case execution time. And finally, we look at the optimal. This uses about 49% the energy of allocating for worst case execution time. So both the energy aware approach and mean time give similar energy savings to optimal. It's pretty close. So that's good. And now we have a graph of the accuracy for all the benchmarks. We only show power dial, cross, and mean time because those are the only approaches we tested that use approximation. You can see that for five of the six benchmarks, we have very high accuracy, like above like 98%. The one exception is Ferret. This is an image search. For mean time, the accuracy drops to about 0.78, which isn't that great. The reason this happens is because Ferret has a very high variance in the jobs, but it also gets a very low speed up from approximation. So it's spending a lot of time in approximate states and not getting very much speed up from that. So we get a fairly high accuracy loss. So mean time might not be the best approach for all applications, but for many, it doesn't lose that much accuracy. Okay, so now here we have a graph that shows that mean time has a strictly greater set of capabilities than allocating for worst case execution time. So this is the radar application that we talked about before. We've got time on the x-axis and latency, energy per job, and accuracy on the y-axis again. So what's happening here is at time 25, we're changing the goal to achieve perfect accuracy. So before that, mean time is running and trying to minimize accuracy, or not minimize accuracy, minimize energy, not trying to use too much approximation. But then after time 25, we switch to full accuracy, and you can see that the energy use goes up. What's happening here is it changes to doing exactly the same thing as if you were just allocating for worst case execution time the entire time. The main advantage mean time has over allocating for worst case execution time is that you can allocate for worst case, or if you want to, you can reduce accuracy in exchange for energy efficiency. Okay, and we've got one more graph. This is, again, time on the x-axis, measured in jobs, and latency, energy, and accuracy on the y-axis. This is running the X264 video encoder benchmark. And it's encoding a video that has three distinct phases, where the second phase, between times 15 and 30, is noticeably easier than the first and third phases. You can see that because the energy use between time 15 and 30 drops. The important thing here is that the latency curve is still flat. It's always meeting every deadline. Prior energy-aware approaches would miss deadlines when you switch phases because it can't predict how difficult the jobs are going to be. So mean time can still meet hard latency guarantees where prior energy-aware approaches failed to. Okay, so we're almost done. So to conclude, I started by talking about the trade-off between timeliness and energy efficiency and how we could add another dimension of accuracy to that. I talked about several different techniques for trying to get timeliness and energy efficiency. We showed how those techniques work with a radar processing application example. Then I went over how MeanTime is a combination of an energy-aware controller and a governor that ensures timeliness. We saw some results for various benchmarks for the latency, energy, and accuracy of several different approaches. Then we saw that MeanTime can do everything that allocating for worst-case execution time can do, plus more. You can trade off accuracy in exchange for increased energy efficiency. And then finally, we showed that where prior energy-aware approaches would miss deadlines, MeanTime can still save energy while not missing any deadlines. So thank you. I'll take questions now.
Hi, this is Shen Guang from UCLA. So I was wondering, do you need the app to give you any knobs to control the latency and energy, or can you just perform approximate computing on any arbitrary app or code, anything?
Not all applications work with approximation, but there are a number that work very well. So like anything involving video is generally a good choice because you can trade off noise, and you're often doing a loop over like several different frames. So that's a good choice for approximation.
So I guess in your framework, you're still required to know what the app exactly is doing instead of just working on unmodified binaries and stuff, right?
Yeah. You have to use, like there are various approaches for approximate computing, and I don't know, that's like a separate thing.
Thank you.
This is Abhilash from Purdue. So I didn't follow your last figure, the phases. Did you train your governor with the phases? I believe the governor needs to know those variables.
It needs to know the latency in the worst case.
So when it switched phases, does the governor know about these phases beforehand? Or
it doesn't necessarily know that there are phases. It just knows what the latency would be if you like just ran the energy aware controller on this application. So notice there's some worst case latency somewhere in this application. It doesn't necessarily know where it is.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions? All right, let's thank the speaker.